Are you tired of living with the pain of the past? Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to go beyond what we ever dreamed was possible.
And I had a debt I could not pay, but it was paid by Jesus when he laid down on that cross. And even as Abraham said, oh, thank you, God, for the ram in the thicket. Thank you for providing a way of sacrifice. We ought to leave here today saying, thank you, God, for providing a sacrifice through your Son, Jesus Christ.
We all have things that try to hold us back. Guilt from past mistakes or temptations that we can't seem to overcome. It's easy to learn to live with these problems and accept them as who we are. But God has called us to reach forth and fulfill a greater calling in life. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In our series, Reaching Forth, Dr. Chappell encourages you to leave behind negative mindsets and the limitations others have put on you, and to reach forth to new levels of victory. And now, here's Dr. Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Reaching Forth in Love.
Bound in this grace also. He said, I want you to grow in this grace. John chapter 1 and verse 16. And of his fullness we all received. And grace for grace. You see, God not only saves us by his grace, but he wants us to grow in grace as we continue serving him. Now, I've studied this matter of giving in my own life and as a preacher over the years. And I've found that some givers are motivated by guilt. That's not how we want to motivate here. You know what I'm saying? A sad picture of a dog in the snow, right? Or some poor situation, and so they kind of feel like, well, I guess I better give. Some people are motivated by guilt. Some are motivated by greed, and some churches try to teach that. You know, if you give God this much, you're going to be a millionaire, and people kind of give that way. Now, I do believe you cannot outgive God. I do believe that God will bless you, but it may not always be monetarily. Some people are motivated by guilt. Some people are motivated by greed. But mature Christians are motivated by grace. Grace is the inner working of the Holy Spirit. Grace is not just when the preacher's talking to you about it. It's when God starts talking to you about it. It's when God begins to move and say, hey, I've taken care of you this far. Why don't you begin to trust me? Whether it's in the weekly giving to the Lord or in a special offering, just letting God's grace lead the way, and God will make a way. And I've seen different people try to arrange in churches for giving in ways that seem to be fleshly to me. I have no interest in that. Always reminds me of the story of the lady who had a little dog, and she just loved this dog. His name was Homer. It was her favorite friend, and finally the day came and Homer died, and so she wanted to have a funeral for Homer, and she went to the Baptist church, and she said to the Baptist pastor, I'd like to have a funeral for Homer. He said, I'm sorry, we don't do dog funerals here. She was disappointed. She went to the Presbyterian church. She said, I'd like to have a funeral for Homer. And the pastor said, I'm sorry, we don't do funerals for dogs here. He went to the Methodist church, and he talked to the Methodist pastor, and she said, we don't do funerals for dogs here either. And he was so disappointed. And so he went back to the Baptist. She went back to the Baptist church. She said, Pastor, I just want to have a service for Homer, and I'm willing to give $1,000 to help the church that would just help with the funeral. The pastor said, why didn't you tell me Homer was a Baptist? You know, money can do strange things that way, right? But here we see that the Macedonians had given by grace and the Corinthians were being challenged to grow in grace and finish their commitment by grace. So they can prove their love by finishing their commitment. They can prove their love by focusing on Jesus Christ. Notice what it says there in verse 8. Prove the sincerity of your love. Verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. You see, the Christian life will never make sense unless our eyes are fixed on Jesus. The Christian life will never make sense. Giving will never make sense unless our eyes are fixed on Jesus, unless we remember the nails that went through his hands and through his feet and the crown of thorns that was placed upon his head. None of it makes sense. Coming to church, serving God, living for God, it seems like too much unless you focus on what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. And when we focus on him, we prove our love to him. It's no longer by commandment, but it's by free will. Now look at true love gives. And we see that in the scripture, that when we love the Lord, we give. When we focus on him, we show our thanks to him. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. How many of you are truly thankful for the blood that was shed for your sin? And you see in verse number 9, that's the basis for it all. Though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, and we give him thanks. And so there's the participation of love that was taking place by the grace of God. There's the proof of love in a growing Christian's life. Prove the sincerity of your love. Notice finally this morning, the preparation of love. The preparation of love. Now verse 11 says, in verse 10 rather, herein is my advice, for this is expedient for you who began a year ago, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. So here he's preparing them for the offering. That's the job of the Apostle Paul. And if you're going to give someone a gift, you begin to prepare out of a heart of love. And folks, we're not going to see a great work for God unless we're preparing, unless we're thinking, unless we're looking and asking, Lord, how can I be a part? And what do I need to move or sell or do? And how can this really come to pass? And you see, this church had said, we're going to help, but this letter was to remind them to get ready. And that, my friend, is oftentimes what we do in church, not just getting ready for an offering, but ultimately getting ready for the day we see the Lord Jesus Christ. Being prepared is a part of the Christian life. So notice this preparation of love. First of all, they were supposed to be ready to give. Verse 11 says this. It says, as there was a readiness to will, a readiness to will. And then it says, to give from that which we have. Notice it says in verse 12, for if we first be of a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. The Bible says of the woman at Bethany, she hath done what she could. God says, I've given to you a job. I've given to you blessings so that from that which you have, you can honor me and you can bless others. We must be ready to give. Secondly, we must be willing to give. The Bible says in verse number 12, again, we see this word, for if there first be a willing mind. God says, I want you to have a willing mind, and I want you to come with willing hearts. Verse 13, for I mean not that other men be eased or burdened, or others burdened. You know, at Lancaster Baptist Church, we've never had an offering where we say, everybody give the same amount. That would be easy for some and hard for others. So Paul's telling them, be willing to give, and be willing to give according to what you have, for I don't want some to have easy street and others to have a burden. For some people in our church, it would be very difficult to bring a particular amount of money. For others, it would not be so difficult at all. I read of a banquet that one of our politicians is having this week, and everyone's invited to the estate of, and the cost for the table for two is $580,000 to a political campaign. So everyone's welcome that can bring $580,000. I'm just telling you, none of us would be there, right? That's not how we do an offering. But what we say is, let's all do the best we can by the grace of God working in our heart. Let's say, Lord, use me to be a conduit of your blessing to the children, that we will give to you, whether it's our regular tithe upon the first day of the week, 1 Corinthians 16, or whether it's a special offering, that we're giving and we're willing to grow as we give, growing in grace. And so here we see it, the participation of love. The Macedonians, they participated out of a heart of love. That love came from the grace of God. We see the proof of their love. They weren't just yapping about Jesus. They weren't just honking their horn. They were willing to reach in and meet the needs of someone else. And then we see the preparation. This is what Paul was saying. Look at, if you're going to express your love to the Jerusalem Christians, you got to start getting ready. There was a readiness with you. So let's be ready for the great opportunity that lies ahead. This last Friday, I was at the hospital and having some blood drawn, and the lady that was getting things ready, she had a shirt that said, on the front of it, it said, compassion counts. And I looked at that and I thought, praise the Lord. That's the kind of person I want taking blood from me, right? They're going to take blood out of my body. They better have some compassion in their heart. You don't want somebody that hates life taking your blood. I don't want some nurse that's going on strike against the hospital and ticked off about it, you know, and whoops, I missed. Let's try that again. All right. Oh, didn't get it that time. No, thank you. Give me the compassionate one. How many of you are with me on that, right? Nobody wants a medical professional that's ticked off when you're going to talk to them about it. Nobody in here wants to be married to someone who says, well, we'll stay together for the kids. You sleep over there, I'll sleep over here. Nobody wants to exist like that. Nobody wants a medical professional that has no compassion or love. Nobody wants to be in a relationship that feels like you just are stuck and it just has to be that way. And God deserves so much more than our begrudging giving. Well, I guess they're building something for the kids. All right, God, here. No. God deserves a gracious lavishing of love from Lancaster Baptist Church. And this is the heart that we would come to him. And you know, Paul, the apostle, he was talking about this offering. And he talked so much about the things of God. People thought he was crazy. And at Corinth, they said some terrible things about him. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, as we close, I want you to notice in verse 13, some people thought he was beside himself. Do you see that? Whether we be beside ourselves. Some people thought he was crazy. There's crazy Paul preaching about that resurrection again. He's crazy. And then notice it says, or some people, whether we be sober. Some people said, man, he's so serious about God. All he does is talk about church and God. By the way, if you really live for Jesus, someone will say that about you. So, you know, people are trying to figure this Paul out. You know, well, he's crazy. No, he's a zealot. You know, he's just so serious about that Jesus. It's like a cult thing, you know. So this is what Paul says. And I want you to see it and we'll be done. Verse 14. He says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. He said, I know some of you think I'm crazy. And I know some of you think I'm too dedicated. But the reason we live this way and the reason we give this way is because of the love of Jesus. Because whenever I think about the blood that was shed and the sacrifice that was made, it constrains me. And I don't live for Jesus because I got a big stick over me and there's an angry God in heaven. I live for Jesus because he died for me. I live for Jesus because he suffered for me. And his love constrains me because I think of it this way, that if one died for all, then all of us were spiritually dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live to themselves, but we should live for the one who died for us. So, let his love for you compel you. He has loved you so much. Let us as a church love him back. And let us love the world that he loves. And let us reach the children of whom he says, suffer the little children to come unto me. One day, we're going to see Del Holtman up in heaven, and we're just going to wink at him and say, man, we had a great ride at Lancaster Baptist Church. We were able to help so many people come to heaven as we joined together there. And then we're going to worship Jesus forever and ever and ever. And we're going to be thankful that we lavish love on the one that lavished love on us.
You've been listening to the 15-minute edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.